existence of the heaven and hell. Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 28. Let us turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 28. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." The most foolish person is a person that regrets about the life that this person has been living. The fact that this person regrets about life means that this person has lived a life in a wrong way. When you draw, if you drew something wrong, you can erase it and draw again. If you went to a wrong way, you can return back. But when it comes to life, once it has been passed, you cannot erase it and you cannot turn it back. It is like the one-way road. We need to live a life that has been given to us once without regret. If you go to Yangwejin in Seoul, which is a foreign missionary's graveyard, there is a tombstone of a woman missionary that ended her life at the age of 25. Her name is Ruby Kendrick. On the tombstone of Ruby Kendrick, there is this quote written on it: "If I had 1,000 lives, Korea should have them all." Kendrick came to the land of Chosin in 1907. But because of appendicitis, she was called by God at the age of 25. Even when she was dying, she left a will saying, "Please let people come here in the future, by groups of 10 people, 20 people, 50 people for the mission work in Chosin." This became a motive and about 20 young people came to Korea as missionaries that heard her will. This is an extract of the letter that she sent to her parents for the last time. In the letter she wrote just before her passing away, she wrote following words: "Dad, Mom. Miss you and I love you. This land, Chosin, is truly a beautiful land. They all resemble God. Perhaps, this may be the last letter I will be writing. I will bury my heart in this land. I realized that this passion for Chosin that I have is not mine but God's passion toward Chosin." She left this will, and at the young age of 25, she had been buried in the land of Chosin. She was a person that had a heart of Jesus. It was because the saving grace that she had, which was purchased by the blood of Jesus, was deeply soaked in her even inside the bones. It is not a mere coincidence that 10 million Christians are on this land these days. It was because this kind of blood of martyrdom was shed so that we were able to have the fruit of the gospel. According to the command of the Lord, we need to pay attention to salvation of one soul even. The passage today shows us about the existence of the heaven and hell. One rich guy abandoned God and had such a life of indulgence. Then he died. Also, there was another person that ate things that were dropped from the table of that rich person. Dead Lazarus appears here. The rich man died and the beggar Lazarus died. It is the same that the people die. After death, the rich man was shown as having pain in hell and regretting, and the beggar Lazarus was shown as having a rest in the arm of Abraham. And a confession of that rich man having pain in hell comes up in verse 24. It says, "So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.'" It is a passage that shows us how painful it is to be in hell. In fact, what more painful is that to the rich man that was struggling in pain, Lazarus that was resting in peace was seen. The circumstance could be compared relatively to the other, so it was more painful. When the rich man that was in pain asked Abraham for help, Have a look at Abraham's answer in verse 26. It says, "And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Whether we are heaven-bound or hell-bound, this gets decided on this land." The rich man saw his own pain and happiness of Lazarus and thought about the remaining family on this land. He thought about five brothers that would come to hell, so he requested Abraham. "Please tell my brothers about how much pain I am going through in hell so that they would not come to hell." This was a sound coming from hell and he was pleaded. That is right. Just because we only got saved, it is not all about a pleasant thing. A person that got saved needs to be able to think about the five other families that do not yet know about Jesus and does not believe in him yet. Although the families are living under one roof now, one day when we have to leave this land, we become a spiritually dispersed family that cannot meet again forever. We need to look for spiritually dispersed families. In today's passage it tells us about certain facts about life. First of all, it is a fact that every human being dies for sure. Let us read verses 19 to 22. It says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores." The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Lazarus died and the rich man died. Let us read verse 22. It says, "The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried." Dying is the truth that nobody can get away from. Just because someone is a believer, it does not mean that this person will live long. Believers die and non-believers die. Some people die young and some people die old. Some people die ill and some people die due to accidents. Whether people are on high position or low position, dying is the same. It could be possible that some people could go earlier or later than some people. Going without an order is death. But, believers and non-believers, they differ from death. Have a look at death of Lazarus. Lazarus that was in the arms of Abraham had a hard life on this land but he trusted God in his life. The ones that waited for him in heaven were the angels. He was lifted by angels and put in the arms of Abraham. He rested. Also, have a look at the death of a rich man. He had such an extravagant life on this land but as he had debauchery, he abandoned God in his life. What waited for him was hell. As in verse 23, he saw Lazarus that rested in the arms of Abraham. He was in pain in hell. Verse 24 says, "So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.'" Imagine how painful it is. How would a drop of water cool the tongue? An unimaginably painful place is hell. The certain fact is that afterlife gets determined on this land. Let us read verse 25. It says, "But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Whether you would go to the heaven or hell gets decided on this land. If you believed in Jesus in your life, then you would go to the heaven and if you did not believe and died, then you would go to hell. There is nowhere in between. The reward and punishment gets determined on this land as well. If you served God well, then you would be rewarded by God when you stand in front of God. If you lived an evil, lazy and non-Christian life, then you would be punished. Therefore, serving devotedly and being committed are to be done on earth, living a faithful life as well. We need to believe well on this land. Faith is not about the life after death. While we are living on this land and depending on how we lived our life, the result differs after death in a form of heaven and hell and in a reward and punishment. Real faith is about how we lived our lives on this land and that is what is important. Also, though heaven and hell surely exist. Let us read verses 25 to 26. It says, "But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, Between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. The heaven is where comfort is. Let us read verse 25. It says, "But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony.'" Comfort means calling to come closer to him. Heaven is where God calls us to be and comforts us. In Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Heaven is where there is no tear. It is because God wipes off the tears. It is a place where there is no sorrow. In heaven, God becomes a comforter, so there is no event to be sorrowful. It is a place where there is no illness again. In this world, there are so many illnesses that we do not even know about the names. Unexpected accidents cause our lives to fall down, but heaven is where there is no illness. There is no night again, and it is a place that lights and sunlight are unnecessary. In Revelation, chapter 22, verse 5, it says, "There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever." It says, "For the Lord will give them light." I like the 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 12. It says, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now we see the Lord in faith as we live, but on the day that our body leaves us, the day that our soul leaves our physical shelter, we will see the Lord face to face at the time in heaven." As Christians live on this land, we need to live a life with a hope of the heaven. In Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said that our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible said that our lives are like nomads and foreigners. Nomads need to leave, one day. Foreigners need to return to the home country. So Paul said that our citizenship is in heaven. I bless you all in the name of Jesus, that your hearts will be fully filled with the hope of the heaven. This is a story of a famous pastor, Peter Marshall, when he was about to pass away. When it was about time that Pastor Marshall would pass away, the wife cried, saying, "How could you leave me alone on this land? How would I live?" At that time, Pastor held her hands and said, "Honey, let's meet again tomorrow morning." Tomorrow morning. Then he passed away. The wife received faith here and wrote a book, "My Husband Was a Pastor," and it became the bestseller. She was a wife of a pastor, but till then, she did not have an assurance of heaven. As she saw her husband die, she was able to get assurance about the kingdom in heaven. Spiritual feelings and touch that she received then helped her to write good writings. Pastor Marshall said, "See you again," when he passed away, like he would say usually. It was because he knew it was a temporary parting. So the people that believe in Jesus does not say a funeral ceremony. As we will meet again, it is called as a heaven send-off ceremony. This is hope for the heaven. Like Lazarus, will you believe in God and die? Or will you stay away from God and die? Will you do something meaningful, valuable and die? Or will you be so busy doing something useless and die? This is something that we choose on this land. Then, what kind of place is hell? Let us read verse 23. It says, "In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side." The hell has been referred to as Hades. What does it mean? This is an underground world where non-believers that died go to. This is such a painful place, and there are images of people crying out for help in a fiery furnace. In the latter part of verse 24, it says that hell is where the agony is forever. What is agony? It means being able to feel pain. It has a meaning of suffering and causing sadness. Hell is where only agony, pain and sorrow exist. In hell, there is no joy, no comfort, no hope, and it is where the fiery furnace is burning forever. The rich man that had a lot of possessions and things to enjoy, abandoned God, and he confessed about the pain that he went through in hell with his own lips. And who are the people that go to hell? It has been told to us in four ways. First of all, as in Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8, it says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. This is where the non-believers go to." Secondly, Romans, chapter 2, verse 8 says, "But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." This is where the people that reject the truth and follow evil go to. Thirdly, the 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment." This is where the sinned angels go to. Fourthly, Matthew, chapter 10, verse 15 says, "I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." It has been said this is where the people that rejected the gospel go to. In today's passage, there were two reasons that the rich man went to hell. Firstly, he did not believe in God. The other reason was that because of the belongings he had, he left from God and he lived his life committing crimes. Do you have better conditions than other people? If these are becoming tools of sinning, then it is not a blessing. If you have better health than others and you are using it for your own bodily pleasure, then that health is not a blessing. If you have more knowledge compared to others, and if this is misused as evil, then that is not a blessing. In today's passage, the fact that man was rich is not a wrong thing. The issue is that when you have better conditions compared to others, you neglected God and misused the resources as the tools for sinning. This is where the problem was. If you have better conditions, I bless you all in the name of Jesus that you will be used for the glory of God. The rich man that had painful moments in hell felt bad about five brothers that did not get saved. Let us look at verses 27 to 28. It says, "He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.'" He thought about the pain that these brothers would go through if they come to hell like him. Please look at verse 28. What the rich man remembered while he was having such a painful time in hell was five brothers that did not get saved and would come to hell like him. We need to be able to think of non-believer husbands, wives, parents, children, siblings and relatives. We need to be able to think of souls that are around us. We need to be able to hear the outcries of people that were falling into hell and saying, "Please save me." Imagine that when you are on a ship and someone you knew fell into water. If this person is shouting for help, would you be able to ignore that person? Open your spiritual eyes and have a look around. Are you not able to see souls that are hellbound? Can you not hear that they are shouting to you for help? They want you to save them and they are desperately asking you for help. Wouldn't you have to save that soul? These are the family that we meet every day, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, business partners that you work together with. If we did not share news about eternal life with them and because of that, if they went to hell, then the price of the blood of those souls, we need to be responsible for it. We need to let them know about the way out from hell. John, chapter 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus answered, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" In Jesus, there is a way. In Jesus, there is peace. John, chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." In Jesus, there is rest. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In Jesus, there is an answer to life. Acts, chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." But people look for shamans, fortune tellers to look for the answer of life. But there is no answer and there is no way. So life has been referred as a destiny or a fortune. But in Jesus Christ, there is a way, peace and an answer to life as well. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to share the gospel of life. We need to be able to think of spiritually dispersed families. Our ears need to be open so that we could listen to the outcries of people in hell. The eyes that see the souls that do not know about God and the people that wander around, need to open. There are more non-believer souls than the people that believe in Jesus. To save that soul, let us open our mouths boldly and offer the hands of salvation so that we would become true Christians. I pray all these in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.